It is a beautiful morning outside, but it is even more beautiful in here with people that love the Lord, that want to serve Him and worship Him, sing praises to Him, and to glorify His name in study and prayer and everything else. Thank you so much for being here. If you would, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. We're going to be looking at a very important passage there in just a moment. Before we do that, I'd like to take the time to say two important things. One, next week, next Sunday morning, we're going to have Brother Tim Norman from Searcy, Arkansas, come and do a series of gospel sermons for us to help us in our theme for the year, a life of preparation. So I hope that you've already made preparations to be here, planned on being here every night, even invited people to come, friends and family, and even strangers. It's going to be a good study, and I'm sure that we'll all benefit from it, and definitely the Lord will be praised. I would also like to take the time to make a very personal note, if I would be allowed to. Last Thursday marked the one-year point that Becca and I have come to, or it was a year ago last Thursday, I'll say it that way, that Becca and I came to work with the congregation here. I just wanted to take the time to say thank you so much to the elders and to the congregation here for the opportunity to do this, for the opportunity to work with you all and help you all, to help me and Becca grow as Christians and as a preacher. I seriously doubt that I will ever be able to express just how grateful I am and how thankful we are for this opportunity. Just accept this humble thank you. Well, let's get into it, shall we? We live in a technological world, a high-tech world, and we have all sorts of cool little gadgets and gizmos that do all sorts of different little things. And no doubt many of you have one of these things. By the way, feel free to put yours on silent if you haven't already done so. And we have these cool little things. We have these cool little gadgets like that and do all sorts of cool little things with them. You can check email with them now. You can surf the internet. You can watch TV. I hear even some of them you can make phone calls with. But the point is that is just the type of world in which we live, a world in which everyone is constantly connected and communicating. I bring this up because about 50 years ago, they didn't have cool things like this. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the internet. If you had to make a phone call, if you had to get in contact with somebody, you were pretty much tied to the rotary phone that was mounted on the kitchen wall. And only a few years before that, even rotary phones didn't exist. I can see some of the younger kids are looking at their parents going, "What's a rotary phone?" And I don't know either, so. But the point is, if you wanted to communicate with most people, you either had to do it face-to-face or you had to write them a letter. Now, we don't write too many letters today, but up until a few years ago, that was how most people communicated with each other for thousands of years. Kyle tells me that you can even go back and find letters written on clay tablets that they even put in clay envelopes. I'm not really sure how that works. You can talk to him for the technical details. But that was how most people communicated. And we have perfect examples of that in what we have, or what we call the New Testament. Most of the New Testament is just letters from one person, one godly writer, to another group of people that are concerned about what God has to say. And people who needed to hear what God needed them to hear in order to bring them closer to Him. And that's why I want us to talk about letters today. In particular, I'd like for us to discuss how we can be letters of Christ today, how we can be better letters of Christ today, and our own personal gospel accounts to the rest of the world, addressed to the world around us. So if you would, open up your Bibles and read 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and read with me verses 2 through 4 with me. And let's notice some things that will help us to become better letters of Christ, starting in verse 2. If you are epistles, or epistle is just a fancy word for letter. If you are epistles or letters written in our hearts, known and read by all men, clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust, such confidence through Christ towards God. First thing that I'd like for us to notice about letters of Christ is that letters of Christ need to be all about Christ. Notice with me again what verse 3 says. It says, you are a letter of Christ. I know this sounds silly to say, but it is true. That letters of Christ need to be totally about Christ. You know, it seems strange to us if we got our phone bill and in the phone bill enclosed in it, we had a homemade recipe or the standings to the NL Central or some other unrelated topic, something that doesn't belong there. When you would get your phone bill, or when you get your phone bill, you expect, and rightfully so, that you see your charges in the account information and things like that. You don't expect to see all this other extra stuff. If you see anything else, you wouldn't take it seriously. You might think it was a joke or a fake, and you'd probably call to see what was up with it. And even that, you would have your doubts about it. If we were to be letters of Christ, our whole lives, our whole letters to the world, need to be about Christ. If you would, read with me Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians, the second chapter, and read what Paul says about this, about how our lives should be. Galatians, the second chapter, and verse 20. He says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that he is crucified with Christ. And that it is no longer he who lives. No, it's no longer Paul who lives, but it is Christ living in him. And this is what we're talking about. When the world looks at us, when the world looks at our lives and reads our letters, they need to be able to see Jesus living in us. And that means we need to have the same qualities that Jesus had. If you would, turn over to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter. And read with me verse 8. Philippians 2, verse 8. In Philippians 2, verse 8, Paul says this to the Philippians. And being found in the appearance of, as a man, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The first thing that we need to notice about Jesus is that he was humble. And we need to be humble like Jesus. And this is one of the great things about Jesus, that he's a great example in so many different things, that he is a great example of how we are to be humble. Jesus, who is part of the triune nature of God, who is God himself, humbled himself by not just leaving heaven to live as a man, the creator in the form of the created, but he came to die, not just to die as a regular human person, but to die on the cross as a common criminal. That is the kind of humility that he showed. And we need to be like Jesus and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord to do the things that he commands us to do instead of the things that we want to do. Also, in John, the 13th chapter, in the passage that Skylar read for us this morning, we see something else about Jesus, something that's very important about Jesus. We see that he was a servant. And we need to make that a part of our lives as well. A lot of people have this misconception about humility. They think that being humble means that you don't think very highly of yourself, or you don't think, you know, that you can do anything and that you can't take charge about a number of different things. And that leads a lot of people into a life of inaction, a life of just not doing anything, because they think they're not good enough to do anything. Jesus' humility caused him to obey God even to the point of the cross and care for others. It caused him to serve. And on the night in which he was betrayed, notice that it caused him to get down on his hands and his knees to wash the feet of his disciples. That is humility, and that is the type of humility that we need to have. That is the type of servitude that we need to have, that humility lead us to as we serve God and others. And also, if you would turn over to Mark, the sixth chapter. Mark, the sixth chapter. We'll see one other very important thing about Jesus. Mark, the sixth chapter and verse 34. We see probably the thing that Jesus is most famous for. In verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. The thing that we see in Mark 6:34 is that Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is love. And that he had compassion and love for everyone that he saw, everyone that he knew. And we need to be compassionate like him. This is the same compassion and love that brought him here to be sacrificed on the cross for all those who would take advantage of him. And we need to have the same love for the people out in the world. Same compassion that we want to help. We want to do everything that we possibly can to help bring those people, to bring everybody that we meet into a closer, better relationship with the God Almighty and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The world needs to see those things and every other attribute of Christ in us for them to know that our letters, our lives, are all about Christ. Second thing we need to notice about letters of Christ is that letters of Christ need to be available for anyone to read. Read with me again in Second Corinthians, the third chapter, in verse 2. He has this to say, "You are epistles, you are letters, known and read by all men." I know it's going to sound silly again to say this, but I will. Letters of Christ, our Christian lives, need to be available for anyone and everyone to read at any given moment and in any situation. And even more than that, we need to be eager to show the world how Christ is living in us. Think about it this way. A few months ago, Cecily brought pictures of Bridget and the engagement ring and all that other wonderful stuff to show everybody that she knew and people that she didn't even know. And just to show them and just to show how proud and happy she was about that. And she had them with her everywhere that she went, and she wanted everyone to see those pictures, and she wanted everybody to know that her daughter was getting engaged, and she was so happy and so proud and so excited about that. I bet if you press her today, she might even have them with her and show them to you. But she was eager to show those to people because that was something that was important to her. That was something that was exciting to her. People don't have to ask if she has those pictures, and people don't have to wonder if she has them or not. It's going to be evident that she has them because they're going to be clearly seen everywhere that she goes. If we're to be letters of Christ, we need to be eager to share the message of Christ in every aspect of our lives to the point that it is evident that Christ is living in us. That means that the world needs to see Jesus in our lives when we come to worship as a collective group. That we do the things that Jesus and the inspired Bible writers instruct us by commandment or example or necessary inference. That they instruct us in how to operate, how to worship God when we come together as a collective group. And that as Paul says in Colossians the third chapter, do all in the name of the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We need to make sure that everything that we do is in the name of the Lord when we come to worship, doing as He commands. This also means that the world needs to see the Jesus living in us when we go to work throughout the week. And this is something that we talked about last week a little bit in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 5-9. That when we go to work throughout the week, that we are good and loyal and hardworking employees and employers, kind and respectful, understanding that the work that we do is not just to the employee or to the employers, but it is unto God, who is our real master. Also, if we're to see, have the world see Christ living in us, they need to see Christ living in our homes, in our family lives. That, as we talked about again last week in Ephesians 5:22 through 26, or 6, verse 4, that the husbands really do love their wives, just as Christ loved the church. And that wives really do submit to their husbands. Their husbands that love their wives and love the Lord and serve them both. And that parents raise their children up in the teaching and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. And that children respect and obey their parents, 6:1. And notice in all of these things and everything else, every other aspect of our lives, we need to be eager to do them because of what is said in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 3. Notice again, verse 3. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, and not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, the heart. Letters of Christ need to be written on our hearts, as we talked about in class last Sunday morning. And notice that it's something that we do because it is something that we love to do. Because serving God and worshiping Him and obeying Him and bringing others closer to Him in every aspect of our lives, in the home or in the workplace or in play or in school or wherever else, that we love to serve the Lord, that it is evident that the Word of Christ dwells richly in us, in our hearts. Finally, one other thing that I'd like for us to notice about letters of Christ is that letters of Christ need to be readable and without smeared print. Please notice, again, chapter 2, verse 3. Notice what it says again about this letter of Christ. That is written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Please notice that the print on a letter needs to be readable. Most things, when they get wet, any colors on it run or bleed or fade to where it's no longer what it looks like it what originally did. When paperwork gets wet, it gets ruined. I have a Bible in my office that, because it got wet one time, you can't read the bottom half of the Minor Prophets. It really doesn't do me a whole lot of good, and I won't belabor this point, but a letter is useless unless it is readable. A letter's usefulness depends upon its readability, and it cannot have smeared print. If we're going to be letters of Christ, our lives are going to have to be readable, unmarred by smeared print. This is important because of what it says in verse 3, that our letter is written by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not suggesting, as some do, that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and miraculously takes control of every action and every word and every thought that we have. But what I am suggesting is what the Apostle Paul taught in Romans the 6th chapter through the 8th chapter. That when we accept Jesus and obey Him unto salvation, that we no longer let sin reign in our lives, but we take His words and we write them. We allow them to be written on our hearts as we study and meditate upon them, understanding what God says and what He says is best for us. Do you know what that means? Having the Spirit write Christ on our hearts? It means that we can't keep going back to sin. We can't go back to our sinful lifestyles, even one small sin, because of who God is, a jealous God. Our God is truly a jealous God. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, in verse 5, as God is giving the children of Israel the Ten Commandments and all of His commandments for them to follow, He tells them that He is a jealous God. So much so that, in fact, He calls His own name jealous in Exodus, the 34th chapter, in verse 14. And because He is a jealous God, He will avenge those who depart from Him and His ways. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. And he will be justified in his jealousy, according to Joshua in Joshua 24, verse 19. And notice also in Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, what Moses says, that his jealousy is an all-consuming fire. It is important that we serve God because He is a jealous God. It is important that we no longer sin. We refrain from sinning because He is a jealous God. And He doesn't want us to do that. And He doesn't want us to do that because He is a God of love. We can't keep going back to our sinful lifestyles because of the love God has for us. And God knows what is best for us. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verses 7 through 11, we see that God knows how to give good gifts. That He will give what is best for us. And what He has given to each and every single one of us is Christ to die on the cross for the so that we can have the chance of the forgiveness of our sins. He has given us a word, His commandments to follow in the form of the Bible, so that we can know exactly what He wants us to do, how He wants us to do it, and so that we can obey Him in a way that is pleasing to Him. Is what is best for us, because what is best for us is to be with Him now and in eternity. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to be with Him. If you would turn over to 1 John, the first chapter, 1 John, the first chapter, we see how we obtain that fellowship. 1 John, the first chapter. John says to the Christians there, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." This is how we gain fellowship with God. This is how we are in a close relationship with Him, is by coming in contact with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, by being baptized into His death for the forgiveness of our sins, and being obedient until the point of death. We need to obey God and be free from sin because our God is a loving God and that He has made every provision for us to be without sin. And because He cannot have fellowship with sin. And because He wants to have fellowship with us. Notice also that we cannot have smeared print if we are to be letters of Christ. Because going back to sin is foolishness. We can't keep going back to our sins because it just doesn't make any sense to do so. If you would, turn over to 2 Peter, the second chapter. 2 Peter, the second chapter, and notice what Peter tells the Christians here, starting in verse 20. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to a true proverb, 'A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire.'" Here Peter talks about those who have known the Lord and who have returned to their sinful lifestyle, who have turned to a life of sinning. And notice what Peter says about these people, that they have entangled themselves in the pollutions of this world again. Pollution is a bad thing, right? Yes. Sin is a bad thing. But people who have known Christ and have gone back into this, they have entangled themselves in the pollution of the world again. Notice also that they are like a dog returning to its own vomit. And that they are like pigs wallowing in the mire after they've been cleaned. This is disgusting. And it makes no sense. Especially since the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, the promise of judgment. In chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, notice what Peter says. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise that one day the world will be destroyed, that we will all die and we will all be called up to the judgment seat of Christ, where we will face our own deeds and have to give an account for all the things that we have done in this life, whether righteous or unrighteous, according to the Lord. If we're going to be effective letters of Christ, where the world will be able to see Christ living in us, they're going to have to see that we have removed sin from our lives and our lives from sin. And if not, all they're going to be able to see is just a letter full of contradictions and empty of the real Spirit of Christ. We can't have one foot in this world and one foot in Christ. It's all or nothing in this endeavor, and we cannot afford to end up with nothing. Well, as we close, I want us to consider again what a real letter of Christ is. It is one that is all about Christ. That our lives are emulating the life that Christ lived while He lived on this earth. And that our lives are available for anyone to read in every situation, in every moment in our lives. We need to have Christ living in us. We need to have Christ showing as a light into this dark world. Christ living in us. And we need to make sure that it is completely readable, free of any blemish, unmarred by sin, that people will not get a letter full of contradictions when they read our lives, but they will really see Christ living in us. One last thing that I want us to consider. If you would turn back and read with me to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 4. Why we need to do all of this. What the reason for all of this is. Notice verse 4. And we have such trust, such confidence through Christ towards God. The reason why our lives need to be all about Christ and available for everyone to read in every situation and readable, free of smearing, is because if we do, we can be confident that our names will be written in the book of life. That when we have the word of Christ written on our hearts, that God will write our lives in the book of life. And even more than that, if you can believe it, that we can take comfort in the fact that our gospel accounts, that our letters of Christ are just as effective as the ones that we have in the Bible. That people will read us and see Christ and know Christ and come to Christ, have a better relationship with Him. And that we will be effective in bringing lost souls back to God. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Thank you so much for engaging in this study with us. It may be that there are those here this morning that have never named Jesus as their Savior. Those who have never been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Those who do not have a relationship with the Lord. That have never taken the time to write the letter of Christ on their hearts and to be a real, true letter of Christ. We stand ready at this moment and we offer the invitation to anyone who needs to make their lives right with God. If you're subject to the invitation, why not come forward even right now as we stand and as we sing?